Good morning. Let's talk about something that is absolutely imperative if we're going to talk about spiritual things, if we're going to talk about religion, if we're going to talk about salvation and the saving of our souls, if we're going to talk about going to heaven. We'll need to talk about this very topic this morning, which is that we need to be able to change our mind. And I'm not asking anybody. I am not asking a single soul just to take anything that I say at face value. Just because I say it doesn't necessarily make it so. I'm not asking you to believe something that's not right. I'm asking you to look at the evidence of Christianity, the evidence of salvation. And if what I say corresponds to what the scriptures have to say, then you've got something to think about and something to consider in your mind. But if it doesn't, then you can just go on about your business and not be concerned about what I have to say this morning. So this morning, I'm going to turn my Bible to Romans chapter 15, please, and verse 21. Romans chapter 15 and verse 21. And as I say that, I am one page off. Romans 15 and verse 21. But as it is written, Romans 15 and verse 21, as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Now, there are a couple of points here that we really want to talk about, and that is the concept of seeing and the concept of hearing and the concept of understanding. If I see something, there's a good opportunity that I can understand it. If I hear what you're talking about and clearly understand, then there you go. I've got the concept. But the point is to walk away with the understanding. That's what it's all about. And it's certainly true when it comes to Jesus, about salvation and about heaven. So here you go. I'm going to draw my little pictures like I normally do. Let's talk about Jesus for just one moment. So I don't know what Jesus looks like. I do know that he's spiritual. I know that he's sitting at the right hand of God according to the scriptures. That Jesus was born of a virgin. So he came to this earth born of a virgin. Now, we can go and take a look at that, but that's just, I don't have time for that this morning. How about that? We can talk about that at any time that you have a mind to. Jesus also came to this earth to live perfectly so that he could be a perfect sacrifice. Jesus never, ever sinned. He also came to this earth to save the lost. Now, that's why Jesus came. Now, the issue is that God knew before the foundation of the world that the inhabitants of the world are going to sin. That is, they're going to go against what it is that he has to say. So when God says, do this, and man says, no, I'm not going to do that, that would be a sin. When God says, don't do that, and we go, I want to do that, that's what I'm going to do. So I'll do that. So that's a sin. So if you do those things, if you counter God's word by your behavior and your action, then you have committed a sin. Now, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that everyone has sinned and missed the mark of God's glory. So here's the glory of God. You can think of it as brightness, so bright that you can't even take a look at it. And so if I were to aim for that glory, that brightness, I would fall far short. I would fall short of the glory of God. That means I have committed sins. Now, in doing that, I run over three chapters to the same verse, verse 23, but this time Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, which also tells me that the wages of sin is death. All right, so I don't want to die. Now, I'm going to die physically. Everybody dies physically. But you know, there's a word that's often attached to that dying physically, and that is passing. And that's really the concept. We pass from this physical life to the spiritual life, our passing. And when we enter that spiritual life, there's going to be two different groups of people. One group of people are going to be in association with our Lord in a place we call paradise. Take a look at Luke chapter 16 for this. And another group of people are going to be in what's called torment. Now, torment, of course, doesn't sound very pleasant. You don't want to go to torment. You don't want to be in torment. Torment is hotter than you can possibly imagine. you would love to have just a tip, just a drop of water on your tongue. It's so bad. And there is no going from here to there. That is, you can't go from torment to paradise. Nobody would want to go from paradise to torment, but that's the case. You can't go between one or the other. All right, so we don't want to go to torment. All right, so that's why Jesus came, to save the lost. So God looks and he says, oh, look, every one of those people on earth. Did you know the other day we're up to 8 billion people on the planet now? 8 billion people, can you imagine that? So 8 billion people, every one of them has sinned, including me and including you. So God says, you know what? All of those people are going to end up in torment. All 8 billion souls. None of those 8 billion souls are going to be with me in heaven. So I need to help out those 8 billion souls. I'm unhappy with those people. I'm angry with those people for the sins that they've committed, because God is holy and he doesn't allow sin anywhere near him. So I'm going to send a Savior. That's the plan. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send Jesus down to this earth. He's going to live this perfect life. And those who believe in him, listen now, those who believe in him are going to be saved. Now, can I do something for you? Can I just go over to John chapter 8 and verse 24? John chapter 8 and verse 24. Here's the first point that we want to take a look at this morning. You got to be objective. And that is, you got to give a fair hearing. If you're going to get involved in this religious thing, if you're going to get involved in spirituality, if you're going to get involved in salvation in heaven, you've got to be objective. What does that mean? Well, that means I'm going to give you a fair hearing. Yeah, if you've ever read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the things in there is about understanding, listening with the view to understand. And when somebody says something to you, you can reply, I heard you say, I believe you said this. Is that true? And then y'all can have that conversation. Well, same sort of concept. If we look, take a look at the Bible, we've got to give a fair hearing to what it is that God has to say. So here we are. Here we are at John chapter 8 and verse 24. And why am I here? Well, is it true? Did Jesus say this? Now, in the Bible, if depending on the translation or the printer that you have, the words of Jesus might be in red. So you know that Jesus is speaking. If not, you just got to read by context as to who's speaking. But Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 8, verse 24. And he says this, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, that is God, the Son of God, you will die in your sins. You see that word, die in your sins? That means you're going to go to hell. That's not a good place. You're going to go to torment. Not a good place. You're going to go to that what's called the lake of fire in the Bible. That's what Jesus calls it, the lake of fire, a burning furnace. All right, now, did Jesus say this or not? So, yes. Yes, he did. Is it objectively true? Yes, Jesus did say this. All right, well, let's take a look then at Luke. Luke chapter 3, please. Luke chapter 3. Excuse me, Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, my bad. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And Jesus just isn't saying there that you're going to end up dead. That's not the point at all. In this word perish, he means that if you don't repent of your sins and start living a godly life, begin living for God, unless you do that, you're going to end up in hell. And once again, that's not the place that you want to be. You want to go to heaven. So, is it true? Did Jesus say that unless you repent, you will perish? Now, the word repent means basically change your mind, which is very interesting because that's what we're talking about this morning. And so here I am. I commit a sin. Maybe I enjoy my immorality. And that's what I'm doing every weekend. I look for a different partner for the weekend to be immoral with. And God says that that's a sin. And so I run across the scriptures and I hear this, that Jesus said, unless you repent. And so I start thinking, I'm giving an objective listening to what Jesus has to say. So let's see, unless I repent. So if I don't stop being immoral, I am going to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. So I think I'm going to change my mind. I don't think I want to live that way anymore. I'm going to start living for God and doing things the way that He wants things done. All right, so that's the concept of repentance. But did Jesus say this? Yes or no? Now, please turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Still, Jesus is talking. And he says, Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess by him before my Father who is in heaven. So that word confess, that means I make a mental agreement. God's word has been shown to me. I understand what God is saying to me. I agree that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, and I will publicly state that. I will say in front of anybody that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And he goes on to say in verse 33, whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. So here's a judgment scene. I finally get up in front of Jesus, and it is my turn to be judged. And so all of my sins are mentioned there. And I'm looking to Jesus. And I'm looking at Jesus, hopefully, as if he will vouch for me, as if he will say something to God Almighty on my behalf. And you know what? Jesus looks back at me. Why? Because I did not publicly confess any kind of belief that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. So then, I must confess. Did Jesus say these words, yes or no? And the answer to that is yes. That's the objective yes. It is true that Jesus said those words. All right, so then, if we go over to Mark chapter 16, please. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. The words are written in red, which means once again that these are the words of Jesus Christ. He who has, notice that's past tense, he who has believed and has been baptized will or shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Now, let me give you the exact same sentence structure like this. Go to H-E-B and pick up a can of beans. But if you don't go to H-E-B, you can't pick up the can of beans. Right? Is that the same thought? All right. Did Jesus say that you have to believe that he is the Christ and the Son of God? Yes. He said, those who believe. And in addition to that, believe, but even more, or even again, those who believe and are baptized for the remission of sins. Now, once again, we can go into a great discussion about baptism. We simply don't have the time to do that this morning. But you can always ask me after services, and I'll be more than happy to answer your questions. But this means water immersion. That means I have to be immersed in water. That means I have to go cover my body completely underneath the water. I have to be dipped, which is what the word baptism means. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Now, is that true? Did Jesus actually say that? Well, objectively, yes. Yes, he did. He objectively said that. All right, so let's go over then to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 41, Acts chapter 2. Verse 41, and we're going to tack on verse 47 here at the end. Acts 2 and verse 41 has this. So then, those who had received his word were baptized. All right? Jesus said, Mark chapter 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so here it is. Those who had received his word, they believed and were baptized, just like Jesus said in Acts, in Mark 16:16. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. And what are we talking about? The church. All right. Then over at verse 47, very last verse. And it says that in this chapter, the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. All right. So 3,000 people were added to not a single man-made denomination. There is not one man-made denomination in the New Testament. I could get really pointed and say, there's no such and such denomination. There's no such and such denomination. There aren't any so-and-so denominations. That denomination doesn't exist. All of the denominations are man-made. Some guy, some person, even some woman, Ellen G. White, for example, has come up and said, listen, I think that if we do it this way, and then so a whole bunch of people start doing that, and another person says, well, I think that we ought to be doing it this way. And so then a whole lot of people do that. But that's just not in the Bible. That's not objective listening. That's man-made thought. And so here we go. Did Jesus say, baptize, believe and be baptized, and you shall be saved? And so here we go to our verse here in Romans 15 and verse 21. Those who had no news of him shall see. And so I'm going to go off to Timbuktu, and I'm going to preach the gospel to those Timbuktuans. Is that how you say that? Timbuktunians. And I'm going to talk to them, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell them all the things that we've just talked about here this morning, because that would be true. That would be Bible truth, and they would have the opportunity, if they listened objectively, to see and to understand, to hear and accept what it is that Jesus had to say. You notice I haven't added anything up here. This is all Bible stuff. These are all things that Jesus has said. So that's the point. You got to have an objective mind. Number two, you have to have an open mind. You would think that, you know, objective would mean open. Well, if you have an open mind, that means that you're going to consider. You know, you're just not going to listen. You're not just going to understand what the speaker is saying, but you're actually going to consider those things. Now, let me give you an example. Turn over to Acts 17, please. Acts chapter 17. And near about verse 30, let's go over to Acts chapter 17. And we're going to talk about some things. let's start in verse 22. Acts 17 and verse 22. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, an apostle is an approved agent of Jesus Christ, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, which is a marketplace there in Greece, in Athens, and he said, men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. So Paul is going to talk to them about this unknown God. Now, verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live. Now, that's important. See, that's one of the message. See, that's exactly what Paul the apostle was doing. Jesus said, go out and preach, and this is exactly what Paul is doing. He's going out and to preach. And so here he is at Athens over there in Greece, and he says, in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Well, we talked about repentance right up here, Luke chapter 13, verse 3. I've got to change my way of thinking. All right? So what are we going to find out? Are these Athenians listening? Do they have an open mind? Or do they have a closed mind to what the Apostle Paul is saying? All right, now verse 31. You should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some people began to sneer. You can't even raise the people from the dead? That's impossible. That's just stupid. You can't be saying that. But others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. So Paul went out of their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with him. You see, some people had an open mind. They actually listened to what the apostle had to say. And they said, you know, that's right. When you come to think about it, I can see what this guy is saying. And he's given proof. He's given evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. So then you turn over to Ephesians 1 and verse 17, please. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. There's a prayer that's made by Paul to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now, what does he want? What does he want for these people in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus? What does he want? May give you a spirit of wisdom. All right, so what do we want? We want wisdom. Wisdom is super important. That teaches us how to live in any particular situation. What does God want me to do? For example, the Bible doesn't outright mention the lotto or gambling. So what would God want me to do? Many forms of dance are ungodly. And so if I were at this dance, am I going to join or not? So what does God want me to do in this particular situation? What does God want me to do in anything that I don't really get the picture of, or I don't remember a command or a don't do? So what am I supposed to do? What does God want me to do? All right, so wisdom and revelation, so that I might grow and learn what it is that God has to say to me. Revelation. It's not the book of Revelation. It is merely an uncovering of that which heretofore has been covered up. So when somebody says, oh, look, here, take this. This is what this is. And you go, okay, this is what that is, and I'll take that. See, that's revelation. That's something that's coming and that's new to you. A lot of the space program information is a revelation. There's new stuff that we're finding out all of the time. That would be a revelation. That's an example. And then the third thing is knowledge. We just want to know about Jesus Christ. Well, how do you get that knowledge? How does one come across that knowledge? Well, let's see here. There aren't any apostles around these days, so we can't go to apostles and ask any questions. And we're dealing with Bible matters, so we really need to stick with what God has to say. Well, the only place that I know of that God has actually said anything is the Bible. And so I need to go to the Bible in order to get knowledge. And if I'm going to be objective, I'm going to pay attention to what God has to say. If I'm going to be open in my mind, I'm going to take a good look at what God has to say. And then, is it true? Is it true? Yes or no? Let me do this for you. I'm going to pick up here an elementary math book. You can't see it. It's invisible. It's an elementary math book. And in it, it says that 9 times 9 equals 81. And so you take a look at that. Is that a fact? Is that true? You say, oh, well, yeah, that is true. All right, so you close the math book. So I'm going to pick up a literature book or a grammar book, probably in the 6th grade, because that's about when I started learning about grammar. And it says there are certain things as now, a person, place, thing, or idea. Well, is that true or not? Is that objective? Am I going to take that in as information and live with that? Well, yeah, that's true. And so here, I pick up a history book. George Washington was the first president of the United States. Well, is that true? You know, I wasn't around at that time. I didn't see old George. I don't know anything about George except what this book tells me. Is that true or not? So I take that as objective truth. My mind is open to that. So, yeah, okay, I'll get that. Can you get the idea? And then when you want to talk about spiritual matters, when you want to talk about religious matters, when you want to talk about heaven and hell and salvation and God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, what do? You go to the Bible and you pick up the Bible and say, did God actually say these things? Well, yeah, he did. Well, what does that mean? What's my thought about this? Is this something that God wants me to do? Yes, it is. God wants me to repent. He wants me to believe. He wants me to confess. He wants me to be baptized for the remission of my sins. And he's going to add me to his church, the church that Jesus built, not any church that man has built. Now, let me tell you this, because people always say, oh, you Church of Christ people, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. Come on, I'm tired of you. Quit talking to me. Let me tell you the truth of the matter. There are two things I want to say to address that. Number one, it's not about that thought whatsoever. If you were to go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, see, you've got to be open-minded about this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, those who do the will of my Father in heaven are the ones that are going to be in heaven. All right? So, I don't care if you're Fred on the street or Georgiana sitting right over here in this pew. If you do what God wants you to do, you're going to go to heaven. Here's the second thing I would say about that. There is a sign out front that says Church of Christ. And you, as you're driving along, would say, oh, look, there's the Church of Christ denomination. That would be an erroneous thought. Well, why is that an erroneous thought? Aren't you a denomination just like any other denomination? Well, no, we don't want to be a denominational sign out front. That's not our bag. That's not our deal. What we want is to be exactly that. We want to be the church that you read about in the New Testament. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to replicate. That's what we're trying to have an objective, open mind about, so that we can be pleasing to the Lord in our lives. And so we come together as Christians into the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. So you got to have an open mind. Are all those things, are they true? And would you consider that they are true? Would you give honest consideration to the things that are in the Scriptures to see if whether they are true? And then what would you do? Would you act on them or just blow them off? And here's the last thing that we want to talk about. Last thing we want to talk about is the fact that you got to have a persuaded mind. Persuaded. Persuaded. All right? A persuaded mind means I have taken a look at the evidence, I have considered the evidence, and now I am persuaded that the evidence is true. Now I've got a choice. I am persuaded that the evidence is true. Am I going to act on that information? Am I going to act on the true information? Or am I just going to ignore it? And there are reasons that people would ignore the information that's been provided. Why do people ignore it? Well, some people just don't want to. It's as simple as that. Some people really enjoy their sin. they really like living in sin. They like what they're doing and they want to continue living in sin. Some people say, maybe later. But you never know if you have a later or not. I don't know that people wake up in the morning on the day of their death knowing that they're going to die that day, right? So you never know. You don't know. You don't know if you have a later or not. Today might be it. So there are people that ignore the evidence, and for various reasons, once again. So, but the other people that are persuaded are going to say yes to what God has to say. They're going to say yes to what God has to say. And then what's the deal then? Well, we're going to go right back to here. They believe. They certainly repent. They are easily going to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then they are going to submit to baptism for the remission of sins. There are a lot of people who submit to baptism, but not for the right reasons. I know that some denominational groups say, a member comes up, a person comes up and says, you know, I want to be baptized. And the preacher or whatever it is they have there, preacher, person, he says, well, we're going to do a baptismal ceremony 3 weeks from now. And so we're going to stack up all the people that want to be baptized. We'll do it all at one time, 3 weeks from now. You know, that's not the Bible. Anybody that says, I believe and I want to be baptized for remission of sin, did you know it is done as soon as possible in the New Testament? There's no waiting around. There's, you know, we're going to do whatever it is that needs to be done in order to baptize somebody. So here we go in Ephesians 1, verse 13. Here's this. After listening to the message of what? Truth. After listening to truth. Well, once again, is that objective truth? Yes, yes it is. Why is that objective truth? Because it's true that God or Jesus or the apostles or the Holy Spirit actually said or did these things. What kind of mind are we going to have about that? Are we going to have an open mind or are we going to have a closed mind? I don't want to listen to that. Some people would have an open mind. An open-minded person will say, well, here, let me think about that. I can see the importance of that. I've got a choice between heaven or hell, so I really need to. That's more important than anything else, isn't it? Yeah, it is. So you consider that. You start thinking about whether this is important enough that I will change my life about. And then, on the other hand, after listening to the message of the truth, which is what? The message about salvation, about going to heaven or hell. And after you listen to that, having then believed, I do believe what Jesus said is true. I believe that Jesus wants me to do or go through all of these kinds of things, what we call the steps of salvation. And then having also believed that the Holy Spirit, after I've been baptized, the Holy Spirit puts a stamp on me. And it's a spiritual sort of thing. You have to get over to the book of Revelation to read some stuff. Once again, we don't have time for it. But you have to get over there and read. The stamp shows ownership. It shows protection. It shows that we wear the name of God. It shows that indeed we are children of God. You want to have the stamp of the Holy Spirit or sealed. You want to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That shows to Satan, to the angels, to all the demons, to people on earth, by the way that you live, that you are indeed God's child. But that only comes if you have an objective mind, an open mind, and be persuaded about the truth. And if you're not persuaded, friends, I got to tell you right out, as a preacher, you're talking about hell. That's your only other, that's the logical conclusion where all this happens. But if you are persuaded and want to do something about it, then, and only then, are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins.